Hi, everyone.
It's a KurtCast. If you heard the music coming in here, then you know what episode this is. Also, this is the episode most recently after Povgacy, so obviously you know what it is. I'm not even sure if I want to introduce him, because apparently he's going to, he's got some words for me. He's got some critiques, some criticisms, some lessons to be learned, you could say. I don't know. I'm starting to regret this whole idea of having someone come on to tell me what I'm doing wrong, but I gotta go with it. It's only this show and next week, too, so I can survive that long. But enough about all that. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. Thank you for having me on the KurtCast again.
You're welcome. Let's see. It's up to you whether you get on a fourth time, I think.
Okay.
No, I kid.
We'll see what happens.
I kid. There will only be one more Ombudsman because there's only one more Monday.
That's right. There is only one more Monday.
So, regardless of how terrible you are to me right now, you're guaranteed to be. You're already booked for next week.
Look, I don't think I'm going to be terrible to you.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some things that I would like to talk about, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go lighter side first.
Oh, there's a lighter side first. Great.
So let us talk about the infamous cheesesteak debacle of episode 10 of the KurtCast.
All right, let's have it.
So it was pointed out on social media by one Joe Sposto.
In a subtweet, I hope you'll add.
In a subtweet, which, as I said, subtweets give me life.
Huh.
That you said that Chickies and Pete's were authentic Philly cheesesteaks. To which Joe said, that's like saying a McRib is authentic barbecue. First off, I want to know, do you have a rebuttal?
I would like to say to the jury, my rebuttal happened on the show. You tell me, David, what city was I in?
You were in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. What food item did I order, David?
You ordered a cheesesteak.
So I had a Philadelphia cheesesteak, did I not?
I don't know. I don't know. That depends on how you define a Philly cheesesteak, I suppose.
Look, if we're going to get in semantics, we could be here all night.
I mean, it's not, I don't know that it's really semantics. I mean, there's all sorts. I mean, you know, I feel like there have come to be certain specified things that make a cheesesteak, that make a Philly cheesesteak.
Okay. You tell me what those things are, and I'll tell you if they were on there.
Okay. It's usually a hard roll, a hoagie roll.
Yes.
Okay. Usually thinly sliced ribeye.
I would assume.
Well, peppers and onions.
There were onions.
Are there not usually peppers? Maybe there aren't usually peppers. I don't know.
I honestly don't know myself.
Okay. And then, obviously, cheese. Mm-hmm. Now, this is sort of where... I know that this is sort of where people start to break things down. Some people like Cheese Whiz. Some people like American cheese, specifically white American cheese. Some people like provolone. What kind of cheese was on your Philly, your cheesesteak at Chickies and Pete's? You know.
It would be most close. Well, I don't think it was exactly. It would be most closely associated with Cheese Whiz.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe. Did the menu specify that it was cooked on a flat top?
It did not.
Okay.
But they obviously have a flat top. They make burgers.
Well, you can make burgers on a grill. They don't need a flat top to make burgers.
That's true.
So I don't. I mean, I have never been to Chickies and Pete's, so I actually can't make that. I can't make that designation. I don't know.
So I submit to the jury, item Exhibit A, on the Visit Philadelphia website. I don't think you can get a more valid representation of what a Philly cheesesteak is than the Visit Philadelphia website. It says how to order a Philly cheesesteak. You need to know apparently you need to let the cashier first know that you would like a cheesesteak. This seems like an obvious first step. I'm actually going to dock them a point for giving what is obviously something that you would have to do. You would then say what type of cheese you want. I did not do that, but they did have the Cheese Whiz, so we are good. And C, whether or not you want fried onions, which was a specific question asked of me at the establishment. By this definition, I had a Philly cheesesteak.
Okay, that's fair. But I'm also on visitphilly.com, and I'm looking at an article that's entitled Top 10 Spots for Authentic Philly Cheesesteaks, and Chickies and Pete's is mentioned nowhere on here.
You don't know what number 11 is?
Actually, I kind of do, because they have honorable mentions. They've got like 6 or 7 honorable mentions, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
You don't know what number 20 15, is?
15, 16, 17, 18. 19. Yeah, so 19 honorable mentions. So they tell you 29 places to get a cheesesteak. Chickies and Pete's, nowhere to be found.
Okay. Do you not understand discovery, sir? This is information that needs to be presented before the trial begins. Therefore, I am throwing the case out.
I'm just saying.
To be fair, I did reply to him and say, you're not wrong. You know, I gave him his due, but I suppose
that's true.
I was attacked on Twitter. I was subtweeted and attacked. I am still recovering.
You're still recovering.
I don't know if I'm ever going to come back from this, David. That was how rough this was. So now that we've decided that it doesn't matter, it's all a draw, what else do you have for me?
All right, let's talk about lip smacking.
Oh, shall we?
Okay. So there is a principle in the theater and in performing in general.
And in schools.
That, yes, there are principles in schools. That is true. That if you make a mistake, it is worse to acknowledge your mistake than it is to just move on. So there were at least 3 times on the Kirk cast that you released this weekend where you called yourself out for lip smacking. And I'll be honest, I didn't notice the lip smacking until you said something about it.
Now you're just trying to make me feel bad.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm actually trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to tell you that you don't need to make a big deal out of it. You've already said that it's something you're working on. You notice it. Just move on. I understand that it is your reaction to say, oh man, I did it again. But all you're really doing is pointing it out to the people who didn't notice.
Okay. Yes, and. So get your gifts ready, everybody.
That's right.
Yes, and. I actually agree with that 100%, and that is actually why I'm doing that. Because okay. In order for me to learn to stop to do it, I actually feel as though I have to degrade the quality of the show I'm doing so that I learn my lesson to stop doing that so that I actually can then not have to mention it when it happens. Now, do I have to mention it every time like I do? No, I 100% agree with that one. That's fine. But I agree with you. That would be the best way not to do this. I could even edit those out maybe. But until I learn to stop doing the dang thing, I'll say it less, at least, if not say it.
Okay.
Lose it all together. Now, apparently, I'm told that there's techniques you can learn, like, for voiceover stuff to, like, get rid of pops and, smacks and stuff, but I can't. I'm Googling and don't see anything, so. These must be, like, industry secrets nobody knows.
Well, with popping, there are things you can do in terms of, like, consonant replacement.
Oh, that makes sense.
So instead of something with a really hard P,
right.
You might say it with a B.
B. Huh.
Because that's less plosive.
I really have to be right now.
Yeah, sure.
You're right. It didn't pop at all. I mean, I'm sorry. It didn't bop at all.
It didn't bop at all.
All right. So fair point. I understand. But like I said, yes, and. Right. Hopefully this makes me stop doing it.
Well, I mean, and if that's the goal, I certainly can understand.
Sure. Now, if this was, like, there's some shows I've listened to where, you know, both hosts have, like, a little tick that they want to get rid of, and the other one will point it out in, like, a joking way.
Sure.
So, now, granted, when I'm doing a podcast by myself, that doesn't work. And, like, tonight on Povocacy when I did this check out Monday shows, kids. And I said it, and you're like, yeah, we're going to talk about that on the Kirk cast. So the shots have been fired, received. I do not disagree at all with your ombudsmanship in this way.
Awesome. I think that's all I've got, though. I think you did really good shows. I really enjoyed your breakdown of Justin Robert Young's show.
Oh, wow, great.
And your sort of trip report. I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Excellent. I look forward to you giving Politics a listen this week. Because, like I said, it was good times.
It certainly seems enjoyable.
Yes. Like I said, first of all, he's equated politicians to wrestlers on several occasions, which, of course, is always a plus from the Povocacy team here.
Absolutely.
And every time he does a poll on the show, every time he does a bowl on the show, he does it in much like a if you're enjoying a adult establishment and there might be some polls around in a dance fashion. It's called the pole dance. And that's how you find out who's winning in the polls.
Interesting.
Yes. It's a good time. So, all right. Well, as much as I gave you some gruff at the beginning, sir, it's always a pleasure to have you on. And I'm actually going to be sad, because like I've been hinting at, I do want to continue this in some form, probably with a new title, maybe some kind of new format or something. And I would love to have you on, but I don't know if an ombudsman function would work or not on something else.
Sure. I mean, it sort of depends on what you do. And probably not weekly, because I assume you're not going to be doing a daily podcast.
No. Like I said, I'm impressed I've got this far. I only have 10 days left. Actually, 9 after this one. If I don't go all the way, it's going to be pretty bad. So I kind of have to finish this out. And then we'll see. We'll go from there, because, you know, like I alluded to, the conversation that Joe Rogan had with Dan Carlin last week that I listened to got me fired up. Going to see Justin got me fired up. The fact that I've done 20 of these in a row and I still don't hate podcasts has got me fired up. So something has to happen. I just got to figure out what. So plus then I can, you know, make it make sense in my head. All the equipment I have around me and my purpose in doing so. So, you know, excuses. Those are good too. So thank you so much for coming on, sir. A pleasure as always.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure as well.
And I look forward to hearing your critiques next week. And I'm very sad it will be the last chance for David Kincannon, ombudsman, to show up. But maybe, I don't know, maybe you'll have to don your cape and, or I'm sorry, your, what would this be, like a press hat? Like a press hat and your horn-rimmed glasses wouldn't work, would they? No. Maybe.
My new glasses are of a thicker frame. They're not horn-rimmed. But
your thick-frame glasses, then.
That's right.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for joining me, and thank you for everyone for listening. I hope you're enjoying these little shows. I do see some numbers on SoundCloud, but I don't think they show downloads, so if people are downloading this, I don't even think I know. So, hey, feel free to always let me know if you're listening. I do know some of you do, and I do appreciate it. And other than that, I hope you're enjoying this, and we've only got about 10 more of these left, so enjoy them while you can. Actually, not even 10 of these, because I'll have other shows coming out. So once again, David, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And until next time, Internet. It won't be so bad, 'cause the man said that's the way it is.